Hello, everybody. I'm Giorno Iorio from the University of Padova. First of all, I'm really sorry to not be there, and I would like to thank the organizer for letting me give this talk remotely, actually remotely and recorded. Anyway, this talk will focus on results of a couple of work that I published together with Alexei Bobrik and Vasily Belokurov. The focus is a subsample, an interesting subsample of R-Elvira that are the meta-rich one. So in this talk, I will show you what are their properties, why is challenging to explain their properties through the classical formation channels of R-Elvira, and I will show you a model that we are an alternative model, alternative formation channels that we are proposing to match the observation of such stars. Now let's start from the say classical view, a classical definition of the R-Elvira, that they are metal poor, low mass metal poor stars that are burning helium in a particular region of the Hesperon-Russell diagram, that is the instability strip. So they are population two stars, old stars that are abundant in the stellar halo, globular cluster, thick disk, and also streams in the halo, for example. So the reason why such stars have this property is shown in this Hesperon-Russell diagram with some models here on the right, where you can see that for a 0.8 solar masses, essentially such stars develop degenerate helium core, and they start the helium burning phase after the helium flash. So given this property, they start the helium burning phase essentially more or less with the same helium core mass. So their position on the, say, horizontal branch, or anyway, this phase is based on the, it depends on the amount of envelope that is covering the core and on the opacity of the envelope. Metal poor stars with low opacity essentially are hot enough during this phase to land in the instability strip. While the meta-rich one, the meta-rich one, the opacity is too high, and they burn helium in the so-called red clump. Moreover, we also see that at fixed mass, at the higher metallicity, the stellar evolution models predict also larger ages, quite also twice the ages of metal poor stars for the meta-rich one. So overall, we do not expect to see meta-rich R-Elvira, both for the higher opacity of the envelope and also for the older ages. However, it has been always known that in the solar neighborhood there are some R-Elvira that are meta-rich, close to solar or even super solar. And this view has been extended by the amazing map of Gaia, of the amazing sample of Gaia the R-Elvira. And this is, for example, this plot is showing the mean metallicity in bin of galactic coordinates from the Gaia DRT R-Elvira. So you can see that most of them are metal poor as expected, but there is a strong gradient going toward the galactic disk, where the metallicity seems to significantly increases. And this is even more clear on the right plot that shows the vertical distribution of the R-Elvira as a in bin of galactic of metallicity. So you in this case darker color also indicate higher metallicities. You can see that in the very high metallicity bins, the distribution is very flattened. It seems to be consistent with an exponential profile shown by this red line, with a scale height of about 500 parsecs, so close to the thin disk value, essentially. So thanks to Gaia, now we know that these meta-rich R-Elvira are all over the disk. They are very flattened disk light distribution. And the next question, the next interesting things to study is what is the their kinematics? They are following the thin disk, the thick disk, or something different? And we answered to this question in a paper of 2021 that I worked with Vasily Belokurov using the Gaia GR2 R-Elvira. So again, here we bin the distribution of Gaia R-Elvira in cylindrical galactic cylindrical coordinates, and in each of these bin we fit a multi-component kinematic model, try to reproduce the proper motion of such stars. So among these components, we also use one that consists on essentially eigenrotation kinematic model, And actually, we found that a non-negligible fraction of the area seems to belong to this model with properties that are shown in these two plots. Here, each point is not an error area, but it's just indicate the bin that we use to obtain such values with the cylindrical radius show here on the x-axis and the vertical coordinate show here by the color of the point. So you see that most of these bins essentially are very close to the galactic disk. And you see that the azimuthal velocity is essentially consistent with a flat rotation curve with a values that is consistent with the young population, like, for example, the Cepheids that is shown here by the magenta line. And even more interesting, the vertical, the velocity dispersion show quite low values. And we know that there are relations between the velocity dispersion of a population, its ages, and metallicity and angular momentum. So, for example, we used a model by Sharma 2020 based on a population in the disk to compare with what we found. And what we obtained is essentially that this component seems to be consistent with an intermediate young in this population, let's say no older than 10 million years, for example. So the interesting point is that we are not using like RLIDA filtered by metallicity, but a posteriori, the RLIDA that seems to more likely belong to this component are the one with the highest metallicities. So to summarize, thanks to Gaia, we today know that not only this meta-rich RLIDA exists, and a very flattened distribution, but they seem also to follow kinematics of a youngish population. So this is essentially in contrast with what we have seen at the beginning with this general idea that the meta RLIDA are metal poor and old. So how we can form such a meta-rich RLIDA star? So it was always known already from first work of Bonnet 98 that essentially theoretically is possible to form a meta-rich RLIDA that is also younger than 10 years because the progenitor maybe is a star a bit more massive than the sun. The point is that we have to balance the high opacity of the envelope, removing some of the envelope so that the hot helium core is more exposed and the star is hotter. So we can imagine to remove such mass during the stars, the red giant branch phase of the stars. In fact, usually the wind mass loss in this phase is parameterized by this Reimers equation with this eta that is a normalization factor. And you can see on the right that assuming a star with a mass of 1.1 solar masses with solar metallicity, essentially, increasing this value by eta, we increase the mass loss and we are able to move the stars in the Corinum burning phase from the red clump to the instability strip. However, the point is that we need really a lot of mass loss, more than 0.4, 0.5 solar masses. And this could be a problem because essentially there are no evidences of such high mass loss during the red giant branch. Most of the observation put a limit around 0.3 solar masses. Moreover, even if we assume that this is the formation channel for such stars, we have another problem because the mass stored in the meta-rich disk is 1-2 order of magnitude larger than, for example, the stellar halo. So if this is just produced by a natural outcome of the stellar evolution, we expect that most of the RLIDA are meta-rich and they are in the disk, while we are seeing exactly the opposite. This is just a subpopulation of the metal of the RLIDA tetramatter poor that are maybe in the, for example, in the air. So for this reason, we propose a new scenario to form such stars that is still based on the mass stripping. So it's still based on the mass loss, but not through stellar winds, but through mass stripping in a binary interaction. So essentially Roche-Schwab overflow. This can work essentially because not all the stars can be in a binary that undergoes this scenario, but some of them, like we expect that 30%, we observe that 30% of stars, sun-like stars, should be in a binary. So The idea here is that we have a close binary with two sun-like stars, and at a certain point, the most massive one expand because it becomes a red giant, fills the Roche lobe, and starts to lose mass. Now, this mass loss stops when the stars ignite helium, because at this time, the stars contract. So depending on the time spent in this phase, we can create a whole range of objects from red clump, so no mass loss essentially, up to totally stripped stars that are like the SDB SDA stars, that are the actual population that we see in the Milky Way. And maybe for partially stripped stars, some of them can also enter in the stability strip. That is exactly what we investigated, looking at simulation made with the tailset evolution called MESA. So we simulate we use the simulations by VOS 2020 that contains almost 2,000 binaries, set up with a standard Roche overflow mass transfer model. Of course, we focus on closed binaries that can produce this interaction, and with solar-like stars can produce progenitor of RLI. Then to pass from the simulation to the galactic population, we use the galactic Milky Way model by Besançon, the Besançon galactic population model by Robin. Then it's interesting to note that this simulation were not tuned to reproduce this meta-rich LIRA, but to look at another galactic population that are these SDB stripped stars in the galaxy. And these models can reproduce very well the properties of long period binaries containing an SDB stars, as you show here, for example, in this mass ratio period plane where the squares are the data and the points are the models. So our idea is just to look inside the simulation if we can find some partially stripped stars that enter the stability strip. This is actually the case, because you can see here, these are the stripped stars produced by the binary interaction in the simulation. And you see that we can reproduce the whole range from horizontal branch to SDB, SDA, and also some stars enter in the stability strips. And the interesting thing is that if we move from the Espel-Russell diagram to the Kolber-Mannu diagram in Gaia G band, the average magnitude of such stars are around one. So they are fainter than the metal poor one that in the Gaia G band have a Boson magnitude around 0.6, 0.5. But this is totally consistent with the luminosity metallicity relation of RLIRA, because in this relation, we see exactly that the metal-rich RLIRA are fainter than the metal poor ones. So this is already a nice match, natural nice match of this model. But of course, the most interesting thing to study is the distribution of ages and metallicity of such stars. And in this plot, we are showing these properties. The blue dots, again, are the blue dots are the RLIRA produced to this mass stripping in binary. And you can see that the metallicity are between close to solar, solar, and supersolar, as we observe for the meta-rich population of RLIRA. And the more interesting, the ages are between 1 giga year and 9 giga year. So they're consistent with this intermediate young population of thin disk population that we derive from the kinematics. Indeed, considering the Besançon model, essentially most of this binary made RLIRA should be in the thin disk. We expect something like 50,000. Some are also in the bulge, that can represent the tail of meta-rich stars in the bulge. And it's not possible to produce binary made RLIRA in the halo and the thin disk. This is because these are already old and metal-poor environments, so they produce RLIRA just as a natural outcome of the single-cell evolution. If we enhance the mass loss, they will produce two hot corium burning stars that move away from the instability strip. So this is already showed that this model of binary made RLIRA can naturally match the properties of the metal-rich RLIRA in the thin disk, but we have also a kind of a strong prediction, because such stars should be in a binary with a companion. And in our model, the properties of the companion are showing this plot essentially. So we expect a mass of the companion between 0.5 and 2 solar masses with periods between 1,000 and 2,000 days. This makes the star maybe a bit difficult to detect because in general, the companion is fainter, so you cannot detect it photometrically. These periods are consistent with what Gaia can still observe, but the peak of the sensitivities is around 1,000 days. So we expect anyway that in next Gaia release, we will fully explore this still range. It will be even more difficult to look at these binaries through spectroscopic observation because these are low mass binaries with low orbital velocity. And this will be totally dominated by the radial variation due to the RLIR pulsations. In fact, so far, we have only two confirmed RLIR in a binary. One is an RLIR in the halo with a very wide orbit, so it has not interacted in the past. And the other one is a very famous peculiar object found in 2009 that is called an RLIR impostor because it's a very low mass. So this is kind of confirmed that has been produced through a binary interaction. But anyway, this is not the kind of object that we are trying to match there. So there is still to investigate, to try to find the smoking gun of this essentially model that we are proposing. So to summarize my talk, essentially I've showed that the meta, thanks to Gaia, we know that the meta-rich RLIR is a non-negligible subpopulation RLIR that is everywhere in the disk, in the thin disk essentially. The kinematics seems to be consistent with the intermediate young population in the thin disk. They are challenging to produce such stars with a normal single stellar evolution formation channels, but in a model in which we assume that the stars are produced by mass stripping in binaries, seems to reproduce quite well their properties. This is very interesting because this means that these stars essentially are population one stars, and they belong to the family of stripped horizontal branch stars. This can be also useful to study the binary interaction, for example. So I'm said that I'm not there because I'm really interested in hearing your question or your comments. But anyway, if you have any of them, please send me an email. And here also there is a QR code where you can download the slides. So thank you very much for your attention.